yesterday we discussed, today will be the last day of Makah Aviv. Next week we'll do different topics. No shiur tomorrow on the fast day, but Be'ezras Hashem, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week we'll be back. And then probably we'll do winter vacation, because we got a winter vacation at some point. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week will be our last four shiurim of the semester. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. Okay, so we started, we did already two shiurim on the sugya of Makah Aviv, but there are still so many things that we have yet to uncover, that we have yet to really discuss. So day one of the sugya, we just went through the Gemara and the three basic shitos and Rishonim. What if can a child give medical treatment or bloodletting, things like that, to a parent? We had the Rambam who said that l'chadchila no, but b'diavad yes. The Rif and the Rosh said absolutely aser, and the Ramban who says it depends why. If you're doing it for refuah, it's okay. Otherwise, not okay. Then we saw that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins sounds like Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Rif and the Rosh, and the Ramah Paskins like the Rambam. Then yesterday we discussed the great Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. The Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, that the whole discussion of whether you're allowed to do these things to your parents is only if the parents don't want you to do it. But once a parent is mochel, then all bets are off, everything's mutter. Once a parent says it's okay, then it's totally fine. Just like a parent could be mochel as kavod, so he could be mochel this also, totally fine. There would be no issue. That was the Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch, and others questioned that Chiddush of the Minchas Chinuch. Now let's discuss some of the other issues that come up over here. First of all, the Rama wrote that when are you allowed to do it? When are you rather not allowed to provide medical treatment to a parent? B'sheyesham acher la'asos, when there's another person who can do it. So that was the question we raised yesterday. What does it mean there's another person who can do it? There's always another person who can do it. Somewhere, somehow. Does it mean another person who will do it? Another person who's easily accessible to do it? What does it mean another person who's able to do it? So I saw two discussions of this. One in a tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos, and the other in a tshuva from Rav Breish in the Chalkas Yaakov. Take a look first at the Mishnah Halachos, source number 8. Rav Menashe Klein writes in Chelek Tesimin Taf Dalid. Says Mashma Midivrei Mechaber Shafil Leka Acher Nami Lo Yakiz V'Liyitzchulov. Sounds like the Mechaber holds that even when you're the only one available, you still shouldn't do it. You still shouldn't treat a parent, because that's why the Rama has to add. Wait, if you're the only one. The Rama adds, if you're the only one, then it's okay. Sounds like the Mechaber holds, even if you are the only one, it's still not okay. So he says, wait a second. Kvot Torasa Yasul Fapel B'Kavanas HaRama. But whoever he's writing to, Rav Tzvi, no, what's his name? Rav Shmuel Turk? I don't know, whoever he's writing to, says, what does the Rama mean? That if there's no one else that knows how to do bloodletting, that's when the son's allowed to do it. But as long as there's someone else that knows how to do bloodletting, even if he's not there at the moment, or even if he's not there, you're that's called that there's someone else available. Or does it just mean that at the moment he's not here? But if there's someone else that's available, then it would be mutter for this child. Someone else available is just not there at the moment. That alone would be enough to permit the child to do the hakaza, to do the bloodletting for the father, because the father's being mitzvah right now. He's suffering. He wants the bloodletting. And if you're going to say that you're allowed to do the bloodletting as soon as you realize that the guy's not here right now, even though you could just wait a few minutes, he'll get here. What's the svara for that? Why would we allow the son to do it if you could just wait a few minutes, wait till the other guy? We're going to allow the kid to do an Issa D'Oraisa because of a little bit of tsar of waiting a few more minutes, waiting a few more hours? So the Shoel said, whoever asked for Menashe Klein this question, said it has to be that the Isser to allow a son to do bloodletting in the first place is only Issa D'Rabbanan. Because there's no way for an Issa D'Oraisa we would say, okay, let him do the Issa D'Oraisa because Nebuchadnezzar's father is going to suffer for 5 minutes. No, we wouldn't let him do an Issa D'Oraisa under those circumstances. Then Rav Menashe Klein responds and he says, no. L'fum riyata ala b'machshavasi d'hai achar ha'kavana k'mad d'metzinu g'mar shavasi. He says, what we have to do if we're going to determine what there's no acher there means, what there's no other person there means, is find other places in Shas where we use that term, that there's no one else available, that there's no acher there. Where else do we find leka acher? So he says, I could think of an example. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuflam and Gimel Amud Aleph. Kuflam Beis Kuflam and Gimel and Shabbos has in Perek Rablozer of Demila. That's the parak about doing Bris Mila on Shabbos. And we have about Hidur Mitzvah in the Gemara over there. So the Gemara says over there about Mila. It's all about giving Bris Mila. And let's say Dochalos. So the Gemara talks about what if you have, there's a halach in the Torah that if you have Tzara'as, you're not allowed to just cut it off. Probably would be someone's first reaction. They wake up, they see dead skin, they realize that it's going to make them a social outcast because it's going to mean saras and they're going to have to suffer the indignity of being exiled from the... Just cut it off, scrape it, just get rid of it. It's nisadaraisa. You're not allowed to cut your saras off. Or someone else's saras off. You have to go to the Kohen, get him to paskin it. I once said, you don't get many saras shailas when you're a rabbi of a shul in the 21st century. But a guy in shul came over to me, a dentist, and he's good friends with a doctor who happens to be a Kohen. His good friend is a Kohen and a doctor. So this dentist had some sort of skin irritation on his arm. So he went over to his friend, who's a doctor, and he said, "Do you know what this, is something wrong with me? Can you diagnose this?" The guy happens to be a cardiologist, I don't know. But he said, can you what's wrong with me? And the doctor, as a joke, said, "Saras." So the dentist is like, "Oh my God, I just went to a Kohen, asked him about a skin condition, and he paskin saras. So does that mean that I technically have saras? That I'm a mitzora?" So I know it doesn't, but it was cute that he thought of that. but there is halacha. You're not allowed to cut off saras from your skin. What if baby boy is born, ready to do a bris milah? Open up the baby's diaper and ready to do the milah, and right there the arla has tzaras on it. So you're allowed to cut off the tzaras in order to do the bris milah. It's cutting off tzaras, but you have a mitzvah bris milah. So this is one of the...
It's a bris milah that's been pushed off for other reasons. You push them off for other
reasons.
Right,
but we only push them off when we have to. Meaning, is this... So that's the question. Does it still remain in the tzaras, or do we say, asei dochalos asei, you have a mitzvah asei to do milah? So it's going to be docha the los hasei of tzaras. So the Gemara in that context, when it talks about a say docha los hasei, says basar af bishayshem beheres yimol. Even if there's a beheres there, even if there's some, skin ailment there, you still do the bris milah. So the Gemara says bamlikra. Why do I need a pasuk tell me that? It's not an isadaraisa anyway. Why isn't that an isadaraisa? It is an isadaraisa kav tzaras. Yeah, when's an isadaraisa kav tzaras? In the case I gave you before, you wake up, you see your skin, you're like, oh no, tzaras, and you quickly wipe it off because you want to get rid of your tzaras. Over here, you're just trying to do bris milah. The fact that tzaras comes off is a dover shein miskavein. That's not something you're intending to do, which would knock it down, wouldn't be an isadaraisa anyway. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where the father of the kid is mortified that the kid has tzaras and he wants to cut off the tzaras also. Meaning he's interested in cutting off the tzaras. He's having kavana. So Frakta Gemara, okay, so let someone else do it. Ika acher, if there is someone else, liavid acher. Let that someone else do it. Damar Rav Shmuel Lakish, kol makom shatamotzi aseh v'los aseh. Whenever you have an aseh and a los aseh, im ata yachal lekayim shneihem mutav. If you're able to satisfy the requirements of both the asay without violating the los asay, great. Vim lav yavasei v'itcholos asay, but otherwise mitzvah says docholos asay. Answers Gemara, deleka acher. There's no other person. So Menashe Klein says, let's make a comparison. Whatever the words deleka acher means over there, in the case of no one else to do the bris milah except for the father to do the bris milah, that's probably what the Rambam means over here. There's no one else to do the bloodletting for the father. Ironically, that case is talking about a father on a son. Our case is a son on a father. And there's no one else to do the bloodletting on the father. What does it mean, b'deleka acher? So he says, what does it mean, leka acher, in that case? There's no other moel in the entire planet? That's leka acher means? You're the only moel and the father's the only moel in the entire planet? No, probably not. So Rabbeinu Chananel there explains, leka acher means Klomer, Shim nomer lahamtin ad sheyavo acher v'yimol bitalnu ubiyom hashmini yimol. If we were to wait for that acher, the mila would end up being in the wrong zman. We'd end up pushing it off a day. And we never want to do that. We want the mila to be done bizman on the right day. So what does it mean that there's no acher? It means there's no one else that can get here today. Why dafka today? Why do we measure it by days as opposed to hours? Why not say there's no one else that can get here this hour? Or there's no one else that can get here this week? Why do we say dafka today? Because by bris mila, the day is what matters. Eighth day, by yom hashmini. So we don't want to violate that halacha. Good. So therefore, he says, v'hachinami, nir bididon. When the Ramah says, b'daleka shamacher, he specifically uses a terminology that comes up in Gemara to make your mind associate with that Gemara. To say daleka acher ba'olam, that's ridiculous. Say that there's no one else in the world, there's always another doctor. No, it means that there's no one else there that's going to be able to do it. But wait a second. To do it when? So you want to say that day? That's what he's trying to suggest. It means that there's no one else that's going to be able to do it that day. Why would that matter? See, when it comes to Bris Mila, the day is a critical time. Because once it's past that day, you violated the halacha. Because the halacha is you have to do it by Yom HaShemini. But by bloodletting, there's no day. There's no like cutoff time. So the whole comparison from one to the other, he says, no, maybe. What would be the cutoff time by doing bloodletting on your father? At what point will you have violated some sort of aveira in delaying the father's bloodletting?
Is there ramifications of not having done the bloodletting?
Like what kind of ramifications? Some sort of halachic ramifications? What? Sickness, tsar, right? So he says, if the father's suffering and the father says, I need it done now.
Does kibud av aim require immediate action?
Probably. Meaning if the father's suffering.
In general, like if kibud av aim requires immediate action, I'm not sure if it does, then if you prolong it at all, then it's...
Right. So long as you're making the father suffer for another minute, you've hit that point, which by Mila would have been only at the end of the day. You hit that point with the father's therapy right away. So he says, maybe that's what Lek Acher means. Lek Acher means there's no one else that can do it in as expeditious a fashion. No one else can get it done now. That's maybe what the Ramah means by the Lek Acher. It's one possibility, very intriguing possibility. And he says, yeah, because it's got to be what it means, because that's what the term Acher means. But I saw Chalkas Yaakov has another raya as to what Leka Acher means.
But that should apply to people other than your father too, though, no?
But there's no issue with doing bloodletting on others. It's no, only on your father.
If you were to hesitate, then you'd be over
this. Right, then you'd be over something, right. Meaning if you are a doctor who enjoys watching people wait in your waiting room because they're, because you can, you're that popular, that's a problem. You shouldn't.
One way there.
I remember my kid's pediatrician, I taught the child of my kid's pediatrician, and it was parent-teacher conferences, it was years ago, and I was running a little late with the conferences, and the doctor came and I said, I'm sorry to keep you waiting. He said, don't worry, I've done it to you plenty. not on purpose. They run a good office. Okay, anyway. Rav Breish in Shuvas Chalkas Yaakov suggests a different place that maybe we could learn what the Ramah means by Acher. If you look on page 8 over here, in source number 13, in the paragraph that begins with the letter Aleph, L'chara Gemara Aruchas Hanejim Pedalim and Beis. So he quotes our Gemara about providing the Akazas Dam. He quotes what the Shulchan Aruch says. And he quotes the Ramah of Ein Lo Acher. Achein, third line. Hamusag Shel Ein Lo Acher Lo Brira Lan. What does it mean that there is no one else available? Iyakav Anash Ein Lo Acher B'Muchlat. O'afkashen Lo Acher B'Nekel Rak B'Terech Gadol. Doesn't mean no one else will be able to do it, or it doesn't mean it's going to be hard. That's in general, whenever you say it's not possible. What does it mean not possible? It's not possible mean that it's going to be a challenge, that it's going to take a lot of work. We have a concept, let's say, relying on a suffix, right? We say suffix drabban klu. You're not sure about a certain thing, so if the whole issue is an issue drabban, you could rely on the suffix and be lenient. So let's say I have a suffix about whether a food is kosher or not, and my suffix is a drabbanan issue. It's an issue that would be a problem with drabbanan. I'm not sure if this chicken has milk in it or not. So would you say suffix drabbanan lakula? Well, you can only say suffix drabbanan lakula once you did whatever you can to clarify. Meaning if my wife prepared the chicken, and for some reason I thought that maybe I saw some milk fall into it, but she knows whether it did or didn't, I could ask her, did milk fall into this chicken? And if she says yes, then I can't say, oh, something's wrong. No, then I can't eat it. So can I just say, oh, I'm not going to ask her because I want to eat it? No, you can't do that. You have to be mevarer. How much trouble does one have to go through to be mevarer? It's a fascinating discussion poskim have. In the old days, before instant communication, you know, throughout the world, in the early days of telephone, when calling foreign countries was like $20 a minute, you know, is that called Efshe Levruri Bekal? To place a call to Europe, you know, and schlep the mashkiach to the one phone in the whole town, you know, is that called Efshe Levruri Bekal, that it's easy to clarify? So he says over here, what does it mean that there's no acher? Does it mean there's no acher at all, or only b'torech gadol? And maybe if it's a tircha to find someone else, that's called no acher. So he compares it to a different sugya. And the truth is, he compares it to a sugya that I would have been much more likely to compare it to than the sugya that he had with the Rav Nasha Klein, quoted by Mila. He compares it to a sugya in Pesachim Chafem Beis. But the Gemara talks about in Pesachim Chafeim Beis about getting hana from chametz. Remember when I was in 11th grade, I was in Rabbi Hecht's shir in MTA, and we were learning this sugya about getting hana from chametz. And the example he always gave is that it used to be apparently on the Cross Bronx or somewhere in between Queens and YU, when he would in his commute to work, he'd pass by the Stella Doro factory. And when you drove by the Stella Doro factory, it smelled delicious. It's like the whole area. It's like, you know, in Hershey Park, where that's just they spray the smell of chocolate. But, you know, when you're right near a bakery, you know, it's that you have the delicious smell. So is he allowed to take that highway? Is he allowed to take that road on Pesach? He's going to get hana from chametz. So the Gemara Pesachim discusses this. Should you dafka avoid that route?
You don't have to avoid it for non-kosher bakeries. Like
there's no isra hana for non-kosher, from non-kosher food only, right? There's not only bas b'chalek, so there's isra achila, isra bishul, isra hana, but regular non-kosher food is no isra hana.
Having pork,
right? It's not an isra hana. You're not allowed to eat it. You're allowed to smell it if you enjoy the smell of pork. Right. There would be no isra hana. So the Gemara Pesachim discusses over there, you know, there are two factors. Are you having kavana for the hana? Meaning, do you like look forward each day? Oh, I'm going to go this way. You know? And that's one factor, kavana or no kavana. The other factor is it possible to avoid? So what does it mean, is it possible to avoid? It's always possible to avoid. Just don't go. It's always possible to avoid. No, but I need to get to that place. And there's always another way. Go around the globe the other way. You know, there's always another way. But Tosus over there writes, "Venir l'ri d'lo efshar kidarko ela b'tarech gadol chashiv lo efshar." Tosus says what it means is that if the only way it's possible to avoid is with tarech gadol, that means that it's not possible. If it's really annoying, it's going to be a big burden. Then that's called it's not possible. That seems to be a better comparison to me. No, that's when we say over here leka acher, that there's no one else to do it, probably means that it's going to be a real hassle to get someone else to do it. So I thought that was the better comparison. Okay, that was just a little bit on the Ramah's definition. Now in terms of halacha, how do we pasken over here? Yeah, there's an interesting Rav Menashe Klein, at the end of that tshuva that we mentioned before, writes that lahalacha you should do like the Rama. That if there's someone else to do it, don't let the son do it. Because especially since the Mechaber holds even b'diavad it's also for the son to do it. And the Rama thinks at least l'chadchila. So we certainly shouldn't disagree. Man yahin lach lo kaleim. Who are we to ever disagree with the Mechaber and the Rama? Especially by something that's din and nefashos over here, we're dealing with something that you'd be chayv misa for. But b'diavad, when there's no one else, or the other guy that could do it is not easily accessible to us, available to us, and the father's suffering, and he says, I want your help. So he says, then you could be samech on the Rama, and you could do it then. Especially, he says, once you take into account the Ramban, meaning when you take into account the other Rishonim that even allow it for refuah, when someone is suffering, that will always allow it for refuah, so then for sure you could rely on the Rama. However, it's very interesting, he says, says, I wrote all of this, I wrote this whole tshuva lahalacha, but not lemaisa. Lemaisa, I don't want you to rely on me. Meaning, this is a halachic discussion, it makes for a good shiur. But if you actually have a father that needs treatment, don't rely on what I said. Why? Ki miyirei hora'a ani. Because I'm afraid of paskening. It's scary to pasken. V'kolshken mashkasva, ukamoshikasva, I don't know. Kmoshenir mashkas ramban v'toras ha'adam the makom sheish gadol menu asul l'sasik ben klal kal v'chomer shan din v'arosh v'torah. He says the Ramban says whenever there is a greater person than you, you shouldn't be the one to paskin. People shouldn't be eager to be the one to paskin. And he says that's what the pasuk of Mishlei means when it says rabim chalolim hipila zet talmud shalohi gila ro mora. That a Talmud that's not ready to paskin paskins is considered a terrible tragedy, and someone who is ready to paskin and doesn't paskin is also considered a terrible tragedy. So he says, I'm not eager to paskin. This buddy says, I think la'alacha we would paskin like the Ramah. Now, what's interesting is if you look in the Shlomo Zalman in Mincha Shlomo, it's all today's shiur is pretty much all achronim, all contemporary poskim. Shlomo Zalman, in source number 12, discusses zrikot. What are zrikot? Modern Hebrew. I believe it's injections. Parent needs insulin, or whatever, diabetic needs insulin, whatever, little injections. And most of the time, injections, would an injection be a violation of Makav Vima? Would it be a violation of wounding a parent? Giving them an injection?
Sure.
What?
Possibly. You inject, you make
what would it depend on? What would the issue be?
It doesn't make them bleed.
Oh, whether it makes them bleed or not. That's what it depends. Yeah. Sometimes it can make them bleed. I guess if, it depends. If you inject into the muscle or into, right? So if you, it shouldn't make them bleed too much. What?
Depends on the injection.
Right. Now, certainly it's a risk of making them bleed. Right, because whenever you're sticking something sharp into another through a person's skin, there's always a risk of making them bleed. So you also wonder, what if they have those electronic ones? You ever see these? My son takes steroids.
You press the button and it just.
And you program it how deep it should go, so you can't mess up.
I used to take growth hormone or something like that.
Yeah, my son does that. He has growth hormones. And that's what they do. It's human growth hormone, but he puts it on his thigh, and pushes a button. It's programmed to go a certain depth. So if the concern is that you might mess up, one could argue that with those, it's idiot proof. I mean, they let children do it to themselves because there's no concern that you're going to mess up. And the machine malfunctions half the time, whatever. But okay, so it says Rishon Mazalman, the Indian has Rikot. Rishon and Nira Amna Mashele Chamura. He says it is a very serious Shaila because we're dealing with something that you could be Chayiv Misa for. Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, like the Rosh and the Rith, even for the sake of Refuah. And so says Rishon Mazalman. So normally you would say, okay, we're Ashkenazim, so we're going to follow the Ramah, and therefore it's going to be Mutar. Says Shlomo Zalman, Afshar Ramah Pasuk Le'Atero B'Deleka Acher, Efshar Sheish Lachmir Ketzas Yosef. He says, it could be that over here, since the Shulchan Aruch is so Machmir, and we're dealing with something that's Mamish Dine Nefashos, maybe we should be Machmir against the Ramah. He says, especially in this case, the case he was asked about was a child wanted to know if he can give the injections to his mother, and his mother was married, has a husband. And the husband has an obligation in the ksuba. The husband is obligated to take care of her medical needs. So why should the child be the one stuck doing it? Even if the husband's not interested in doing it, but the child shouldn't get himself involved in what could be a safik chiyuv misa. So he says it could be that just like we would force a son to support his father if he's capable of it. So maybe we'd force him over here to hire a nurse to do it, especially since the poskim aren't explicit laheter on this issue. Yeah, but not over here, not on an issue like this. I mean, first of all, shlich dvar avera, right? Shlich dvar avera doesn't apply for dvar avera.
Adam without dvar mitzvah, maybe.
No, but we're saying the avera over here, right? For the dvar mitzvah, kibbutz. So certainly, you can hire someone, and that's a fulfillment of kibbutz. But for the avera element, we wouldn't say shlich dvar avera. All right. So he sounds like we shouldn't rely on the Ramah if we could help it. That's what he sounds like. We shouldn't rely on the Ramah if we could help it. One last thing.
So interesting, because the Ramah knew the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah relied on himself.
Right.
So it's so interesting why we don't rely on
him. Exactly. Very strange. Yeah, very strange.
He knew it.
Yeah. Last thing I want to do. What about a grandparent? Right? Does this apply to a grandparent? Last source. Tzitz Eliezer. Chelek Chaf Beis Simen Samech Aleph. Odot im mutar l'neched l'kachat k'tzad da me'avi aviv l'bdikat mitos ha-tzukar kasharin k'rego rofei ha-chashyazos. You need to take grandfather's sugar level. So can you take some blood? L'kvod Rav Agon, Rav Shammai Gross, etc. So, where does he get down to it? Oh. He quotes our Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Umitzayin sha'aval b'nidoneinu l'kachas dam leida kama atzukar in ma'akiv im lo lasos l'kachas dam leida kama atzukar elu mishum shu rotza l'dasim utzorich lizar yoser b'shvil atzukar v'asabash lo yochel l'chakos ad le'achashi av arof e'achar bo'ud shavua. Another doctor will show up in a week. And this isn't really treating an illness, nor is the grandfather suffering. It's just he needs to monitor his levels so he can know how much, you know, he can monitor his sugar intake. So he says, is that included in the heter of the Rabbah that there's ein lo acher, or no? So he says, first of all, it is definitely included in the heter of the Rabbah, because if he doesn't monitor sugar levels, that could be very dangerous. Plus, you have the Minchas Chinuch, remember, who says that if he gives you permission anyway, it's okay. But then he says, what are you even asking? You're not asking about a father, you're asking about a grandfather. In those days, Nidonenu Ham Dubar Loba Avivelba Aviaviv. Imkain Zebuchal Yoser Kalba Harbe. We could be much more makel by Aviaviv. Why? The Raman Yaradeh Sim Reshmem writes, a person is not Chayiv Bekvod Aviaviv. And many poskim hold like this, that a person is not Chayiv. Now Rashi and Chumash says a person is Chayiv Bekvod Aviaviv. The Ramah quotes this from the Marik and then says, Veinu Nirali, I don't agree to that. The Ramah says, I think you are chayiv in the kvod of your grandfather. Ella chayiv b'kvod aviv yoser b'kvod aviv. It's just you're chayiv in the kvod of your father more than your grandfather. So he says, maybe over here it's different. Now what's it tali on? What's this whole issue about? Whether it applies to the grandfather or not. So again, this goes back to that first chakira that we had. This din of Maka Aviv, is this a din that's kibur aveim related? Or is this a totally independent din that's more about Makach Havero, but has a unique level of Chumrah when it comes to Aviv? If it's Kibbut Aveim related, then it should follow some of the Gedarim of Kibbut Aveim. And Kavod of Avi Aviv is part of Kibbut Aveim. But if it's just a separate Isser, unrelated to Kibbut Aveim, so we can't make up new Isurim. Avi Aviv would be no worse than anyone else. He says he found a tshuva from the Ben Ish Chai on this topic about Avi Aviv, where the Ben Ish Chai writes, La halach lemaisa, V'lechein yesh l'horus t'mutzulak is dam l'hotzi l'kotz. Miu ha-mach merveich ha-sheyesh ha-mach l'asos tova lov bracha. Ben Ishchai says, it's mutzer meikra din, machmir tova lov bracha, it's wonderful if you want to be machmir. So meikra din, he holds that it's mutzer, it doesn't apply to avi aviv. I would think that would be the pashtus, that it would not apply to a grandfather, only to a father. All right, we'll stop with that. We didn't do the really hard part, which is the Ramban. Next week we'll do a different sugya. Maybe two. Let's see.